We'll read from the Bhagavatam. Jaya Rata Matahuva Kundabiha Re. Jana Malampa Yidibara Alke
Gopi Jana Malampa Yidibara Alke
Gopi Jana Malampa Yidibara Alke
Gopi Jana Malampa
Nana Bajan Ranjana Sodana Nana Rajajan Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chalade Tera Malachare Jiva, Krishna Priya, Vajanava, Nita, and Mayapur, Nityananda, Visheshri, wow, a lot of people, Suchandra, Chinjaradika, Iswararadha, Palasha, wow, a lot of people, more people than are here. So we are here in Sacramento, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 30th chapter, text 5. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'll just read the Sanskrit and then we'll go on to the text. I will do the word by word and then go on to the text and purport. Shivakamana vacha ite gora mahopata varatyam yamaketavaha muhurtam api nasteham atrano yadupungavaha. So you can repeat. Shivakamana vacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said.
Ete.
Ete.
These.
Goraha.
Goraha. Fearful.
Fearful.
Maha.
Maha.
Great.
Great.
Upataha.
Upataha.
Inauspicious omens.
Inauspicious omens.
Dwaravacham.
Dwaravacham.
And Dwaraka.
Yama,
the king of death.
The king of death.
Aketavaha.
The flags.
Muhurtam.
Muhurtam.
A moment.
Api.
Even. Nasteyam.
Nasteyam.
Should not remain.
Should not remain.
Atra.
Atra.
Here.
Here.
Naha.
Naha.
We.
We.
Yadupungavaha.
Yadupungavaha.
O best of the Yadus.
So
translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O leaders of the Yadu dynasty, please note all these terrible omens that have appeared in Dwarka, just like flags of death. We should not remain here a moment longer. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a great amount of evidence from the Vedic literatures proving that the human-like form of the personality of Godhead and His holy name abode, paraphernalia, and associates are all eternal spiritual manifestations without any tinge of material contamination. In this regard, the Acharya has further explained that because the living entities must suffer the reactions to their sinful activities, the Lord arranges for them to be punished during the Kali Yuga. That's now. In other words, it is not Lord Krishna's desire that conditioned souls be sinful and suffer, but since they are already sinful, the Lord creates an appropriate age during which they can experience the bitter fruits of irreligiosity. Since Krishna personally establishes religious principles in His various appearances in this material world, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, religion on the earth was overwhelmingly powerful. All the significant demons had been killed. The great sages, saints, and devotees had been greatly encouraged and enlightened and fortified, and there was little hope for irreligion. Had Lord Krishna ascended the spiritual sky in His spiritual body before the eyes of the world, it would have been very difficult for Kali Yuga to flourish. Lord Krishna left the world in exactly that way during His appearance as Ramachandra. And hundreds of thousands of years later, hundreds of millions of pious persons still discuss this wonderful pastime of the Lord. To pave the way for Kali Yuga, however, Lord Krishna had left this world in a way that puzzles those who are not His staunch devotees. The eternal form of the Lord is described throughout Vedic literature, and His eternal form constitutes the highest understanding of the Absolute Truth in accordance to all the great Acharyas, including Shankaracharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet although Lord Krishna's eternal spiritual form is a realized fact for advanced devotees, for those who are weak in Krishna consciousness, the inconceivable pastimes and plan of the Lord are sometimes hard to appreciate properly. So this is a very important verse. So Omaganata Madandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurna Miditam Yena Tasmai Shingurabe Namaha. So this particular part of the Bhagavatam involves what's called the Mosha Leela. You heard about that before? That means the Leela or pastimes of Lord Krishna disappearing from this world. And in one sense, the Leela is an illusory pastime. Illusory in the sense, as Prabhupada is actually the Prabhupada's disciples who did the commentaries here. As Prabhupada's disciples who did the commentaries here are commenting on, and the Acharyas comment on, that Krishna appears to be shot in the foot by a hunter. You know the story? There was this hunter. Krishna was actually meditating, and there was a hunter who mistook his foot for a deer, and he shot his foot. And then Krishna apparently left the body, just like an ordinary person. But we know that Krishna's body is what? Spiritual, Satchitananda. Krishna doesn't leave His body. He is His body. And we, in the spiritual world, we are our bodies. Right now, we're not our bodies, because we have a material body. So this was arranged to bewilder people so that people would not get attached to Krishna, that Kali Yuga could fully flourish. It's called the Mosha Leela. It's an illusory pastime. Krishna made an illusory duplicate of Himself so that people would get bewildered. So, Another thing that happened during this Moksha Lila, or disappearance of Krishna, is the disappearance of the whole Yadu dynasty, Krishna's family. Krishna wanted to make them all go away. And the reason why Krishna wanted to make them all go away, because they would have created a disturbance on the earth. I'll give a practical metaphor to illustrate this. Let us say that there is a big riot here in Sacramento. You know what a riot is? And what will happen if there's a riot and people start burning down buildings? They'll call the what? Police. Not only the police, what do they call? National
Armed
Guard. The National Guard. You know what the National Guard is? That means each state has this National Guard, which is also connected to the federal government. And the National Guard can be called to foreign countries too, but generally if there's some problem here in the state of California, they're called the National Guard. And the National Guard will come in and deal with all the rioters. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens after they take care of the riot and the riot's over and everything like that? Will the National Guard stay there? No, why? Because they'll create problems, isn't it? Because they'll all be sitting there in the street and they'll start fighting each other and they'll start... You know, they'll start to become criminals too. So Krishna's National Guard is called the Yadu Dynasty. And that, there's two types of members of the Yadu Dynasty. One type are demigods, or expansions of demigods who came down to the earth planet to help Krishna. Just like in Lord Rama's pastimes, who are some of the expansions of the demigods who came down to help Lord Rama? Anyone know?
Rama was Jamma.
Bali, and who else? Hanuman, yeah, Lord Shiva expanded as Hanuman. Who else?
Brahmaji,
Jambavan. What else? Sugriva was who?
Surya Dev
expansion. So, and then what about Nal and Neel? Who were they expansions?
Ashwini Kumar.
Nalanil with Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma, because they were architects. Remember that. So, in Krishna's pastimes, you had a similar thing. And so, those were one aspect. That's one aspect of the Yadu dynasty, the expansion of the demigods. But there was another aspect of the Yadu dynasty, besides the expansion of the demigods. Who were those people? Those were Krishna's eternal associates. You see? There's two parts of the Yadu dynasty. One were expansions of demigods, and the other were Krishna's eternal associates. So it's the expansions of the demigods that Krishna wanted to get rid of. And said, not his eternal associates. You know, some of his eternal associates remain, like you have Uddhava, who's Krishna's eternal associate, right? So he remained. So Krishna had this very interesting way to get rid of them. He thought, nobody else can get rid of them. So they have to get rid of themselves. And what happened is that Krishna arranged that the Yadu dynasty was cursed. Once upon a time, this young kid named Samba was like you, honey. Actually looked exactly like you. So they were, the young boys, they decided to tease the sages. So they dressed up Samba as a girl. You know, they put a sari on him and he has head covered. And they put a little pillow in his stomach so he looked like the girl was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Do you ever hear the story before? Mm-hmm. And so they went to the sages and they said, "All right, my dear sages, please tell us." That's before they had ultrasound, you know, they can tell whether it was a boy or a girl. "So please tell us whether the child that this girl is going to have is going to be a boy or a girl." And the sages knew that they were being teased. And they said, "This girl will give birth to an iron club that will destroy the whole Yadu dynasty." And so the boys got a little frightened at that point. Samba gave birth to an iron club. An iron club came out of him. And so they went to the king. His name was Ugrasena. And they asked Ugrasena, "What are we going to do?" And Ugrasena said, "No problem, I'll take care of it." we'll just get rid of the iron club. How can it destroy the whole dynasty if we just get rid of it? So he sort of broke it up with a little tiny piece. It became powder, basically. And there was one piece left. You know, like this. They couldn't break up. So they say, all right, it's all right. And they threw all the powder into the ocean. And so Ugrasena was thinking, we've tricked the sages. So then what happened is that the ocean, the waves of the ocean, brought the powder back to the shore, and the powder actually became iron rods. You know, like,
okay.
You understand? Like in sugar cane, you know,
could, like
wheat. Yeah, canes. It became like iron canes. It grew up to iron canes. All right. And then that little piece that was left actually became the arrowhead of this hunter named Jirah. And this hunter named Jirah, I'll tell his story in a second. But anyway, so the iron canes were there. So then Krishna arranged that all the residents of the Yadu dynasty would go on a picnic. You ever gone on a picnic? Not a picnic. So while they were on a picnic, they got drunk. You know, nowadays, we hear so many stories about people in India even getting drunk. Social drinking and drinking is horrible, isn't it? A terrible thing. I think drinking is horrible. When I was young, I just wanted to go in and see what a bar was like. I never drank. And I opened the door, it was like walking into the hellish regions of the universe. Some people drink. They not only degrade their consciousness, but guess what else happens? They cause ghosts to come. So when people take intoxication, whether it's drinking or here in California, I guess marijuana is legal, what happens? The ghosts come. And then the ghosts, what do? They take over the person's body. And then the person, because the ghosts, poor ghosts, ghosts are people like you and me who basically either committed suicide or died under the influence of intoxication. So there's a lot of famous people. Like in America, we have these people called the rock and roll stars. They usually die under intoxication. And they leave the body. A yogi leaves the body how? Where?
The head, and
yeah, Ramananda. And certain devotees, who are not like hatha yogis, they leave the body generally through the mouth. I've been with devotees who have left the body. And they just, the soul comes out. You can see the soul come out. I was with Gorgananda Maharaj when he left his body. And you can see the soul came out. He said, Krishna! The soul came out, went back to Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
So... But anyway, so when people die under the influence of intoxication, they usually leave the body through... Well, you gotta go. Through the lower regions of the body. You usually hear about them leaving the body... Oh, you gotta turn it up. Usually hear about them leaving the body in the bathroom. Isn't it? Usually you rock and roll star. Actually getting feedback, isn't it? I can speak louder. Why don't you turn it down a little bit?
It's just not a guitar. Turn it down.
It's really loud.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, so what happened is the members of the Yadu dynasty, they got drunk and they started killing each other, hitting each other with these canes. And this way, they all left this world. At least the ones who were demigods. Remember I told you about that? But the ones who are eternal associates didn't leave the world in that way. And then Krishna was just sitting by the banks of the river, actually the ocean. He was sitting by the banks of the ocean and he was meditating, and this hunter, he actually fired an arrow and hit Krishna's foot. And who was the hunter? His name was Jirah. This hunter was Brigamuni previously. And Brigamuni had made a big offense, because his offense is he had kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, remember? He was testing to see who was in the mode of goodness. That's a test we should do. When you're looking for a spiritual master, just Kick him in the chest to see if he's in the mouth. If you do that, you'll be committing a mad elephant offense. Anyway, don't do it. But he actually offended Lord Brahma by not properly offering respects. He offended Lord Shiva by calling him names. And he offended Lord Vishnu by kicking him in the chest. And what did Lord Vishnu do?
Massage his feet.
And he apologized. I'm sorry, my chest was too hard. That's motive goodness. Forgiveness. Of course, after he did that to Lord Vishnu, guess who ran away? Actually, you know that story? How do you know? Did I tell it previously? He knows the story. Lakshmi ran away, and then Lord Vishnu had to go down to the earth to look for Lakshmi. And who did he find instead of Lakshmi when he went down to the earth? Does anyone know the story?
Padma.
Padma, yeah. He went down to the earth, and he found Maya Sita, who was Padma, Padmavati. You understand? Because when Lord Ramachandra, we're telling different stories, of course, when Lord Ramachandra was in the forest, the real Sita was taken by Agni. And then Maya Sita was there with Lord Ramachandra. And the Maya Sita was the one who was kidnapped by Ravana. But Maya Sita, after being, let's say, with Ram for so long, and also even with Ravana, because she kept chanting Ram, 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 she fell in love with Ram. And she wanted to marry Ram. She went to Ram and said, "You got to marry me. I've been chanting your name all this time." And Ram said, "No, Ekapatni Vrata. I've taken a vow only to have one wife. So, but in the future you can marry me." So when Lord Vishnu went down to the earth planet to look for Lakshmi, he became a poor man. He had no Lakshmi. Poor Lord Vishnu, you know. So he had nothing. He just had to dress in rags. And while he was on the earth planet, he met this Maya Sita, Padmavati, and he wanted to get married to her. They fell in love. Nice love story. He fell in love with her, and he couldn't marry her because he didn't have any money. Her parents said, "You know, what are you going to marry this poor guy for? He's just a poor beggar." So, but Lord Vishnu was so much in love with her that he arranged to get a loan. From who?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know the story. He knows all the stories. From Kuvera. So he took out a big loan with a high interest rate, like 100% per day. You know what 100% is? It means the whole thing, you have to pay double every day, and it doubles again, and it doubles again. That's a very bad loan. I know people in Fiji who gave loans at 25% per month.
Wow.
Some of my friends. I'm not going to mention names. They became very rich doing that. That's called a loan shark. You know what a shark is? It's a loan shark. Anyway, so what happened is he took out a loan from Kuvera, and also, he needed a place to have land, so from this expansion of his, Varahadev, he took out land. He got a piece of land. And he said, "Well, here's, I have money, now I have land, marry me." So they got married. And as soon as they got married, when they were going on their honeymoon, you know, Lord Vishnu has a honeymoon, then they ran into the real Lakshmi. And when they ran into the real Lakshmi, guess what? The real Lakshmi got angry. "He's my husband!" And the Maya Sita or Padmavati said, "No, he's my husband!" And the girls started a fight. And Lord Vishnu got very nervous, because men don't like to see ladies fighting. And he thought, the only way I can get angry is to turn myself into a deity. So he became a deity. And the girls looked at him and they said, "Oh my God, that's a real god, you know." Anyway, oh my God, our husbands become a deity. So then the only thing they could do is turn themselves into deities. And that's how Balaji became there, Sri and Bhu. Sri Devi and Bhu Devi.
So which is Maya Sita is Bhu one, which is Bhu Devi?
Bhu Devi. Bhudevi, yeah. Shri is Lakshmi.
Yeah.
So that so when you go to Tirupati, Tirumala actually, you'll see Shri Devi and Bhudevi, and that's how what happened. It's all due to Lord Vishnu getting kicked in the chest by Brigha Muni. Because Lakshmi was really upset, you can't do this to my husband. And you are too tolerant. You are too tolerant. And Lakshmi wasn't tolerant. So anyway, getting back to the point. So Brigha Muni, he had to suffer that reaction of being a hunter. And therefore he apologized to the Lord, and the Lord said it's all right. And he apparently left a material body, but Krishna doesn't have a material body. And then at the same time, Krishna ascended to the spiritual world. So that's called the Moksha Lila, or the disappearance of Lord Krishna. So, anyway, so this is the story. Anything else about this? Oh yeah, about Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is considered the age of irreligiosity, and it's a punishment age. We are here because everyone's being punished. But there's a good quality in Kali Yuga. What's a good quality?
Yeah, you need to chant Hare Krishna.
Yes. Kaler Doshanet Hei Rajan Ashtye Go Mahaguna Kirtana Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Purambajet. And that is, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of quarrel, an ocean of difficulty. But there is one good quality. Kirtanad Eva Krishna said, one chants Krishna's names in Kirtan, he can become liberated. So there's a special dispensation. In other yugas, if you thought of anything bad, you got a karmic reaction. Did you know that? In other words, if I thought, oh, I'm going to spank you, Aniruddha, I'll get a karmic reaction. But now, you don't get a reaction for it. You only get a reaction for things you do, not things you think. That would be terrible if you got reactions for things you thought, right? Because the mind, as Arjuna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, chanchala imanaha krishna pramati balavadudam tashaham nigraham manye vayor vivashudushkaram. You know that verse? What does the verse say? Wow. He's amazing. He's an amazing kid, isn't it? What's the translation?
Jim said the mind is very, I don't remember the exact.
Restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong.
And it's harder to control than the wind.
Wow. He has a good education. Fantastic. So, as soon as you grow up, you should travel with me. He's a real devotee. So anyway, so the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, very strong, and to control it is more difficult than controlling the wind. So therefore, the mind comes up with all these crazy thoughts in Kali Yuga. And so if we were responsible for, I mean, karmically responsible for the mind's thoughts, we'd be in big trouble. Right? So that's a special dispensation in Kali Yuga, and we have Lord Chaitanya, who is the Yuga avatar, who teaches us this Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Okay, any other questions? Or any questions? Questions? Comments? Problems? Questions?
Illusory Lila.
Yeah, because Krishna doesn't have a material body. Ajopi sam avyatma prakritim shramadishtaya sambhavami bhumaya. That Krishna says in the Gita that I descend in my original translation. You know that verse?
Yes.
What? Ajopi sam
avyatma bhutanam prakritim
shramadishtaya sambhavami bhumaya. Not you, Gaya.
Yeah,
but he knows the verse. That I appear my original transcendental form. And what does Krishna also say? Avijananti. What is the translation of that? Avijananti mamudha.
Oh, wait, people who are foolish and intelligent can see me.
They think that I've assumed this form. Right? These mudhas, these asses, are foolish and unintelligent. They don't understand my higher nature and think that I've assumed this person form. So Krishna has a transcendental body. That's nice. How many verses does he know? Wow, he's impressive.
Did two guys also know that much?
Oh, really?
They are quiet, but
they're quiet.
The king is in.
He's trained them up. So, what? Any other questions or comments?
Which verse was this? Was 11th canto?
It's 11th canto. Yeah, 11th canto, 30th chapter, text 5. And this whole chapter is dealing with the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, with their fighting and everything like that.
Till what canto is Prabhupada?
Tenth canto.
Tenth canto.
And, second.
Yeah, to the end of the I forget which Leela there, but just part of the tenth canto. And it's described that these personalities were so confused by their intoxication. And Prabhupada said intoxication is an illusion within an illusion. We're already in illusion because we're thinking the body. And then when you take intoxication, you get inside another illusion. Just like if you have a dream. Did you ever dream that you were sleeping?
Yeah.
And then you wake up from that sleep and you're still sleeping. You ever had that?
Yes.
So that's like intoxication. It's a dream within a dream. And also, another problem with intoxication is it destroys the body. Like people who are about marijuana or alcohol. From alcohol, you destroy your liver. And you get something called cirrhosis of the liver. And what happens when the liver gets destroyed?
You die.
You die. There's no alternative. You don't have it. You don't have two livers like two kidneys. You can get a transplant from another person if you want. But that's very difficult to get. Usually, your body rejects it and you die. So if you take intoxication, that's what happens. And if you take marijuana, it's a similar effect. People don't understand that. And if you smoke cigarettes, what happens? Lung cancer. But people are so addicted to these things that I know someone who got throat cancer from smoking, and they were so addicted to smoking cigarettes that they did a tracheotomy. Anyone knows what a tracheotomy is? They make a hole here, and they had to breathe through the hole here because they couldn't breathe this way. And then they put the cigarette to the hole. They were so... You've seen that?
Yeah. But they can breathe through that?
Yeah, yes. They breathe and they go... It's crazy. People are crazy in Kali Yuga.
Even in the packet of cigarettes, it says cigarette smoking is injurious to health.
Yeah.
Still there.
People are crazy. So you should learn and not do those things. Just stick tightly to the regulated principles. Anyway... So here's just more of the story here that's very interesting. They even attacked Balaram with the sticks. They ran towards, this is a further verse here. In their confused state, O king, the residents of the dynasty mistook Lord Balaram for an enemy. Weapons in hand, they ran toward him with the intention of killing him. O son of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram then became very angry, picking up some cane stalks. They moved about within the battle and began to kill with these clubs. So not only the Yadav dynasty members killed each other, but Krishna and Balaram killed some of them too.
So how did Lord Balaram go then?
Lord Balaram manifested the Seshanag from his mouth and entered into the spiritual world. There's a different way.
Same time. Different time.
Same time, because later on it's described here. Lord Balaram then sat down on the shore of the ocean and fixed himself in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, merging himself within himself. When it's described by the Acharyas, that means he manifested Seshanag from his mouth. But Seshanag is an expansion of Lord Balaram. He gave up this mortal world. Lord Krishna, I guess we can read some of the verses here. Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, having seen the departure of Lord Ram, that means Balaram, not Ramchandra at this point, sat down silently on the ground under a nearby peepula tree. And this is, just then a hunter named Jara, who had approached the place, mistook the Lord's foot for a deer's face. Thinking he had found his prey, Jara pierced the foot with his arrow, which he had fashioned from the remaining iron fragment of Shamba's club. Then seeing the forearm, because Krishna manifested forearms at this point, the forearm personality, the hunter became terrified of the offense he committed, and he fell down, placing his head upon the feet of the enemy of the demons. That's Krishna. Jara said, "O Lord Madhusudana, I am a most sinful person. I've committed this act out of ignorance. O purest Lord, O Uttama Shloka, please forgive this sinner. O Lord Vishnu, the learned say that for any man, constant remembrance of you will destroy the darkness of ignorance. O Master, I have wronged you. Anyway, so there's this whole prayer of the hunter right here. And Krishna says, "My dear Jara, do not fear. Please get up. What has been done is actually my own desire. With my permission, now go to the abode of the pious, the spiritual world." So anyway, so that's the disappearance of Krishna. So we should end, because we have breakfast at Vrindavan's. Okay, thank you all for joining us. All glories to Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.